You will be faithful to see it through Jesus. You will be faithful to open up the way for us as we follow you. And we will praise you, Jesus, all the way through the opening. We will praise you and see what you are going to do as you bring down all the enemy's plans behind us and you crush whatever the enemy has tried to do. You will do it, Lord. You will do it. Not by our strength or our abilities, but by you. And so we worship you, Lord. And I just really feel that there are angels among us just ministering to us this morning, and just that we open up our hearts in your presence, Jesus. I believe that the ministering angels are here and that a healing presence is here. So just open up. We open up ourselves to you for healing, Lord. And if you have any sickness in your body, just open up yourself to the holy presence of Jesus in this place, because he is present to heal. Thank you, Jesus. We invite your healing presence. And as we look to you, our faces are radiant, never covered in shame. Thank you, Jesus.
When the Lord encounters us and we encounter him, we are often filled with shame that we're not good enough. And I think that's something that came out of what Jenneth was praying just now. We can look into his face with radiance because of all that he has done and he has made us, right? Not because of what we have done or not done this past week. So thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you that this body is a body that is open to the moving of your spirit. And those of you who are on the band, won't you just gather around Laura? I know she hates this, but let's just gather around Laura for a moment. Those of you on the band. Yeah, come and step a bit forward, yeah, Laura, so everyone can get around you. So we just want to pray. Just want to pray for Laura. There's been a diamond that has been hidden in your heart for a long time that you've wondered when it's going to shine. And I think it is the incredible way that you can worship God. There's something that he has made you for specifically and uniquely to worship. And so, Lord, we thank you for Laura. We thank you that this diamond is emerging in this, the way that she worships, the heart that she has for worship. And we just bless what you are doing in her life, Lord. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would anoint and grow this ministry, that you would open doors, that she would lead us with freedom and joy and a sense of your heart. And so just fill her with your anointing and your courage now in the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I also just wanted to say thank you to the band this morning, and also specifically to Jess and Laura. I think that word we had, it was like your voices opened up the heavens for us and we could see the angels move. That was my sense too, that there were angels moving and worshiping, but it was your voices and the harmony that opened it for us. And so thank you for that. It was really beautiful. The other thing that I thought I'll just mention before I start, because Peter is preaching this morning, I'm not, but I'm just doing a short little talk on something. But even when we were praying for Joey, Joey sent me a message this week about the tagline was "One More Try." And I know that we are all battling our own things in our own way. But for those of us that are specifically this morning waiting for something, and especially something that feels like a real lost cause, something that has been ongoing, whether it is sickness or a child or, you know, waiting for a friend to know the Lord or whatever it is, I want to echo Joey's word one more try. I think God is encouraging us to hold on and wait and have hope and believe that He is in the background working, and we hold on to Him because we know that He is clicking things into place in His own good time.
Come on, Peter.
Well, good morning, folk. I just need to apologize here, but we've just had Vicky, and she's got her technical Apple machine there, and look at me, I've got paper, you know. different world, eh? Well, my bit of a machine, the mirror, the light goes off, and then you got black, so at least paper doesn't go off, you know. So, yeah. Oh, dear me. Yeah. Father, thank you for mercy. Thank you for this great bunch of people. And I just pray, Father, for your grace and your purpose to be realized in and through us. And so, Lord, I really just commit this time to you. And thank you for being with us this morning. Amen. Yeah, so thank you. It's good to see you all. And Mark, thank you for the privilege of being able to share this morning. I'm going to take us to the book of Luke. It's right down in chapter 23. We'll get there in a while, so just be patient. So on that thing of yours, you just press buttons and it works so quickly, hey? Luke 23 and verse 42 says something quite interesting. Jesus praying. He says, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Lord, yet not my will, but your will be done. And that's chapter 22, and then chapter 23 says this, which is interesting too. And it's in a, there's Jesus on the cross, and he's got one criminal on the one side, one criminal on the other, and he's in the middle. And just read it, verse 42 here. And he was saying, Jesus, this is the criminal on his one side. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And look how Jesus responds, and he says this, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And here he's talking to a criminal, I mean a really bad guy, and he has the guy's heart, and he responds in the most amazing way. And you know, Jesus looked at his heart, really. He heard his cry, and church, he hears our cry when we're going through difficult times. And Jesus is centered of heart, of love and forgiveness, just overflows at that moment. And he guarantees this convicted criminal an eternal future. Isn't that amazing? You know, if I think of, especially the lady standing there watching and hearing this, wonder what they thought, that had been serving him, you know, all the time. And they were there bravely just being with him at his crucifixion. And Jesus responds in such a beautiful way. You know, and I've been so challenged by these verses. And I wonder with us, you know, do we have any limit when we wanting to seek and serve him and say, Lord, here I am, use me. When you pray that, is there a limit in the back of your mind? You can use me this area, Lord, but, you know, quite something. And so, as we in the Lord's presence this morning, can I ask a question? And you're welcome to jump up, stand on your seat, raise your hand. Is anybody perfect here this morning? Anybody perfect? Mark, you want to stand on your chair? I mean, he's one of the better perfect guys that I've come across. so no enthusiastic commitment that we've got it all together. Isn't that interesting, hey? Not one of us have got it all together. But the Lord's heart is here, and he's wanting to build this uniquely amazing family of his people. Where this love thing and care for one another is incredibly genuine and very practical. And two words, people matter. People matter. And just look at Jesus. This guy says, Lord, please remember me. And I don't know whether he managed to get his eye, but I picture him just turning his head and saying, today, you will be with me in paradise. And the love of Jesus reached out then. And I think it was transformed at that moment. As this criminal cries for help. And Jesus sees that heart. And he says, it's done. We're together. Sure. I come out in goosebumps as I say that. So firstly, I want to look at Jesus' functionality. What he does intentionally all the time. It's amazing how intentionally he was committed to connecting with people. Matthew 4:18, I just want to read that one. And we're going to move around a little bit. And look at this here. And walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, and they were fishermen. And he said to them, come, follow me. And they immediately left. And then we go looking on. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers. See what he does to families. Hey, careful if Jesus gets hold of one of you, one of the family members, he's coming after the rest. He saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. In the boat was Zebedee, their father, mending the nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Where do we go in life, eh? And how do we connect with people? Where do we connect with people? And how do we connect with those people? And here he comes along next to the Sea of Galilee. Guys are fishing, and he intentionally gets involved with lives because him being Jesus, he can see in people what you and I can't see. And he reaches out to them, and it's basically this, come on, you're going to become a part of my team. Let's get it together. And then if we go to this is moving around just a little, and then we will stop this, but this is quite something. In Matthew 9, verse 9 and 10, look what it says here. And as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. And he rose up and he followed him. And it happened that as he was reclining at the table in Matthew's house, behold, many tax gatherers and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and with his disciples. And then I'm just going to move to Luke and read exactly the same portion. Luke calls him Levi. Verse 27 and verse 28. And after that he went out and noticed a tax gatherer named Levi sitting in the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. And he left everything behind and rose and began to follow him. And just look at Levi's response to Jesus reaching out to him. And Levi gave a big reception for him in his house. And there was a great crowd. Listen to that. There was a great crowd of tax gatherers and other people who were reclining at the table with Jesus. And isn't that amazing? Jesus didn't feel put out by the people that he hung out with intentionally. Hey? This is how he functioned. This was his functionality, the way he reached out to people. I don't know if you know, but the tax gatherers, and I think today they're quite similar, were not the most honest managers of collector tax money. And yet Jesus saw something in Matthew in his heart, reached out to him. And in seeing him, he saw the plan that he had for Matthew. And amazing stuff started happening. That incredible. You know, as I've read this week a few times and in the previous weeks, the challenge to my heart was this: how do I allow him to reach out to people through me? When I look at people, what do I see? And do I really ask the Lord, what do you see that you want me to see when we're connecting with people? Because we're really his heart, we're his hands, and his feet into our communities and in this community. And we're there to connect sustainably with each other and with the communities that we're in. You know, the communities need to get to know the real you. They need to get to know the real me. Because hopefully then they're going to see Jesus by the quality of our heart and the quality of our actions and the quality of our words. They really need to do that. I think most of you know, for the last 3.5 years, I've hosted a walk-run time trial in the marina. And it's been so lovely just starting to connect with people and what's happening in that community with us. And, you know, I mean, I've been praying and praying. We pray in the men's group every Monday. And just to say, Lord, come on, open doors from people's lives so we can reach them. And over the last 2 months, and it's like this last Thursday, it was so awesome to see. We were talking about Jesus at the end, all the guys were standing around just connecting afterwards. And it was so lovely to see that. So that intentionality thing, how do we function? What's our functionality like? And is there a clear intention in it? There's so much, you know, that you and I can do if we really love people. And if he's in us and he really, really loves us. I mean, I just remember some years ago when I was in the marina as well, Peninsula Canoe Club asked me to coach their kids. And that ended up being coaching 10 schools. And when I did the church plant, it was so awesome how many young people we could reach. You know, when you love a kid, somehow you reach the parents, don't you? Amen. So you never know what's going to happen when you're just loving kids. And then the dean moved me out to Joburg, and I'm still forgiving them for that process. You know, I was there for many years. But Joburg Canoe Club popped up at Wemapan. And again, God started doing things. And it ended up in me doing monthly sort of marathon events. And it's amazing, and organizing those, how people would come and people would connect. And some of the greatest joys, I've got a picture on my phone, actually. The one guy, he was chairman of rowing for Gauteng, and he was at the Wemapan place. And we got to know each other well, and then he asked me to do his wedding. I remember when we pronounced the man and wife. You want to see the picture? His wife, he reacted, so she jumped and high-fived me. I mean, the picture of that still gives me joy when I see how excited they were, you know. I mean, so weird. And so out of that, all those weddings, and you end up doing funerals and a whole lot of other stuff. But it's just because when our hearts are open to connecting with the unchurched, it's amazing what God can do. And I so want to encourage us that wherever, if it's in your workplace, in your neighborhood, whatever it is, or wherever you may be, that things can happen. So, yeah, there's God does amazing things. And then, you know, the third thing, when we're functionally intentional to reach out, we need to let Jesus' fervor, need to let that fervor of his heart reach us. And it's so amazing when you just watch him and the passion that he had in touching people's lives. There was out of him the strong and sincere, passionate expression for people. You always see Jesus being deeply caring. You always see him showing practical love for people. Remember the feeding 5,000. I mean, that was quite a thing, and that happened a few times. Healing and delivering people and just spending time with him. He showed such emotion and such zeal for the normal person. And many of them were the challenging kind of people that maybe you didn't want to hang around with. But there was intense emotion on his part and zeal in reaching out to those people. In 1 Peter 4, verse 8, it says this, and it's such a call and a challenge to me. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. You know, if I get to know you, I may see the good, the bad, and maybe the ugly. But isn't it amazing that genuine love doesn't focus on the problem, it focuses on the potential and what can happen as we walk together with Jesus, and we're there for each other, and we're going to fight the battles together. And as I read that verse, you know, it's a call to my heart to do what it takes to support and encourage those that are struggling in various areas of their lives, and for me as well, and to love people unconditionally. And what does it take to do that? And are we prepared to commit to that sort of a thing? It's that fervor that he has is something which, you know, I long that that will be expressed through us. And then, you know, looking on from that, how does that express itself? And we see this intentional connecting and genuine interest in people, that leads to an amazing environment. And that's an environment of complete acceptance and forgiveness. But I really want to focus on forgiveness. Look what Colossians 3 verse 13 says. Bear with one another and forgive one another. Remember, this is now in the church environment, relating or just relating to family and friends. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. I didn't see hands saying we perfect. Amen. So I'm sure we've all had grievances against other people. There's always been problems. We've struggled to forgive and so on. But look at what is taught here in Colossians. Bear with one another. Forgive one another. If any of you has that grievance, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Amen. It's a challenge to us. And so maybe there's things that you're struggling with. And maybe somebody has hurt you. And they've maybe been insensitive to you. Or they've maybe spoken bad things about you. And you're feeling hurt. You may be feeling angry. Look at this other Bible verse. This is quite a tough one. Matthew 5:44. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Hey? Haven't anybody jumping up and down? Love your enemies, you know, pray for those that persecute you. And look at 1 John 4 verse 8. Another very tough verse. The one who does not love, now listen to this, does not know God, because God is love. Isn't that tough? Hey? The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And so sometimes the Lord brings people across our path because he wants to take us on a journey where we're going to be real with ourselves and genuinely say, Lord, if you're real to me, maybe you've set me to walk alongside this person and help them break through and be set free and to just go on a road of growth and wholeness. I'm sure most of you know my story, but I just want to touch on a few little things again, because it hit me so hard. And just recently when I went to Joburg to go and do my youngest daughter's wedding, I saw something, and I was so thankful afterwards. So my ex had I got her a job with an international sports ministry organization. I was very involved with them at the time. And they would go to all the big international stuff like World Cup soccer in Munich or something and go for a month. And so I got her the job as the admin head. And the head of the guy, he was based in London, the wife and little kids. And he would book two hotel rooms, but only use one. And after many, many years, his wife, he found some emails between them, which was very, revealing. And so she sent Kath an email and said, you better tell Peter I will, because I was on the advisory board of this lot. And when she sat me down and told me what she'd been up to for all those years, I mean, I'd been pastoring then really for 15 years. For 25 years. It was like you punched me in the head. I mean, I was shattered on that spot. And I just lost all kind of hope. It was weird. And for the next few months, how I actually got through preaching, I still don't know. And I took about 2 months to get the courage to talk to my leaders. And when I did tell them, that ended up going out to our national leaders, and we had a meeting a few months later. And it was a Wednesday. And they said, Pete, be out your office by Friday. We don't want to see you again. And I lost everything. Within 3 months, I'd lost my house. Within 3 months, I'd lost my car. And only a few months later did I find out that Kath had actually been on dating sites while I was married, and she had met a guy, and then she asked for the divorce. That kind of a journey, when the one you love madly rejects you, when God's kingdom rejects you, it was the most shattering experience I could ever think of. And then something interesting happened. I was praying one day, and this was some while afterwards, and I saw Jesus on the cross. And I saw, when I saw it, it hit me with so clear picture. He prayed this prayer and he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Those guys that had just crucified him. And then he said to the guy next to him, today you will be with me, the criminal. You know, when I saw his love for the people that had treated him so badly, something happened. And I knew I had to go and forgive Kathy. So I said, can we get together? And I sat with her. You know something? I still feel the emotion. When I prayed and I forgave her that day, it was like something just literally fell off me. And I had something changed. And afterwards I just said, Lord, thank you that I didn't let the flesh continue getting in the way, but I allowed your love to reach out and to live the way you wanted me to live. So powerful, you know. And I'm not sharing this for anything for me. It's just that I've been having such a sense over the last while. God wants to do amazing things through mercy. But he wants to put the pieces of the puzzle together. And to not let us cover up stuff. He wants to create an environment here where you feel so safe that you can share your brokenness, you can share your failings, you can share your burdens. And we're going to walk the road with you and love you through it. And never let you go. Did you hear that? Never let you go. And so, look at John 15:12. This is my commandment. Notice that you love one another just as I have loved you. Not a little bit like, just as. He laid his life down. He was there fully committed, church. And so just as I've loved you. And church, please, maybe you can try to hear his heart on this. The mirror of life that we have can talk radical stuff to us. If I, without God's grace, look back at the mirror of my life, I think my flesh would get all reactive. But when I've looked at it and seen what Jesus has done through that and how his grace has touched me and forgiven me and then empowered me to try to love others and honor this word, it's given me such joy. Hey? So special. And then, just to bring this to an end, there's such an incredible thing called the power of family. I'm calling that. You know, obviously Jesus is a hope giver. He fights for us. And he goes before us. And he wants to empower you and me to navigate our challenges successfully. And I just want to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. You know it very well. But let's quickly go there. We'll be done in a moment. In Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to read just a few verses here from verse 41. And let me read it. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Imagine getting 3,000 saved in one day, brother. Eh? Just a day. Come on, Lord. If you did it then, you can do it now. Amen. And then verse 42, they were continually, notice this, devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone, that's all 3,000, kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who believed, now listen, were together. Now this is radical Christian living. And they had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. But look at this. They were together and had all things in common. They began selling even their properties and possessions and sharing them with all. In other words, they took responsibility for the needs around them and amongst the people. How insane is that? Hey? Imagine such a fullness of God's love in our heart that our possessions aren't more important than the people that he brings across our path. And that if I've got to sell my house, if I've got to sell some of my belongings to help me care for you, I'm going to do it. Isn't that an amazing foundation to the church? You know, as I was going through this in the week, I just sat there with tears in my eyes. And Father is a family man. Amen. And he loves us so much. And he's so longing to get closer to us, but for us to get closer to each other. That no one, yeah, will ever feel lonely. No one will ever feel they don't have somebody to talk to. And you know, it's not just about a Sunday morning connectedness. Thank God we've got life groups. But the sense of building family, the more loving we can be, the more practically caring we can be, the more we grow in sensitivity to each other and are involved in each other's lives, the more the reality of Jesus is seen and experienced. And you know, it's risky being vulnerable. Amen? To open my heart about my struggles, about my failures, about my needs, but also about my dreams. It's risky. But we see that in the New Testament. And I believe it's a key in the door to move us from yesterday and maybe looking in the mirror and the mirror reminding us of the negative, where we've blown it and so on. Remember, the devil is known as the accuser of the brethren. But the Lord says, I have come to give you life and to give you life in abundance. And no weapon formed against you will prosper, will succeed in its intentions, in its evil intentions. And so may God grant us grace to have that key in our hearts. It'll open us up. And the foundation stones of, yes, Lord, this is what we want, personally and for our body. These are the foundation stones that we want, Lord, that you can come and touch mercy in a way that we've only been dreaming about. Lord, come do that in our home groups, in mercy, through us into the community. I don't know if you've been watching things happening globally over the last while, but there's a lot of good stuff happening and a lot of really bad stuff happening. And I wonder what God sees for you individually. What does he see for mercy at this time? And I've felt him say, Pete, how available are you to step out and to really be my hands and feet into the community and amongst the people? How available am I? And maybe how available are we? And you know, I want to just close this now by just maybe take a moment of prayer and then ask for a response. There's something that God has for this church's future. And I believe it's going to touch many lives. And I almost feel we're at a turn point. The fact that this man is leaving is something quite dramatic. He has been such a precious gem. Him and Taz, who you're such a beautiful pastoral couple. And forever they going and how God's going to use them. But we know these seasons happen and they are happening for us. But as this happens now, just for our hearts to be so open and say, Lord, whatever it takes, we want to be there for each other. We want to be there for you. And we want to be there for that totally non-believing community. And give us the grace to know practically how we can reach out and start seeing one by one miracles happening. Amen. Father, I really want to just pray for every one of us. Thank you that you are incredible in the fact that you've chosen us, Lord, us frail, just natural people. Lord, when we come to you, when your word's in us, when your spirit's in us, and when we're together and this body is built, something incredible happens. Lord, there's a power and a grace that you come and you move sovereignly, Holy Spirit, but you move through us as well. And I want to pray for mercy this morning, Lord, and I want to pray for this season that we're coming into, that the mirror of maybe mercy's past, the mirror of us as individuals past would fade away completely because of the fresh life, the excitement, Lord, the faith that you're stirring within us to be honest about ourselves, to be honest about being vulnerable and being open to asking for help, and then being willing to love and to serve each other and our community. Holy Spirit, come upon us now and just move. And I pray for hearts to soften. And folks, just let's maybe keep in an attitude of prayer. If you need to respond, maybe you haven't fully committed your heart to Jesus and he's longing to reach out to you and say to you, like he said to the man on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. If you haven't made that commitment and you'd like to, you can just slip your hand up for 1 second and I'm not going to call anything just so that I can talk to you afterwards. But if not, if we're all here serving the Lord, the next thing is this. If you've been in a place where there's been difficulty, where you felt you failed, you're broken and you don't really know who you can talk to and you don't feel safe to be vulnerable, maybe today is the day where you can start trusting. And you know, until we kind of take that little step of saying, can we have a chat? Please pray for me. When we take that little step, amazing things come out of that. It can come out of that. Amen. So I'm going to close with us closing prayer now. And then if you have needs that you'd like to chat through, please just come up to the front afterwards. Amen. Father, you know every heart that is here. And you know the journey that every life has been on. And I just pray that the mirror of yesterday won't be an anchor for our future as individuals and even for the functionality of mercy. But I just pray, Lord, that the light of your Son coming upon us will give hope to everyone this morning. And I just pray, God, that they would be faith stirred right now and that hearts would be open and ready to say, I'm prepared to be vulnerable, to share and to just walk on a road of complete restoration and celebration of what can happen in my life now and in the future. So Holy Spirit, thank you. Come up, won't you just move upon every one of us here, on our lives and hearts and our hopes and our dreams. Thank you for this morning. Won't you bless us now, Lord, as we finish off this morning and move into the rest of our day, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So please, if you need prayer, do let me know.